Hello and welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Nikki.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ibanez.
And today we're going to be talking about The Evil Within. The Evil Within is a survival horror game developed by Tango Gameworks and published by Bethesda. Played in a third-person perspective, you play as Detective Sebastian Castellanos as he is pulled through a distorted world full of nightmarish creatures. You progress through the levels fighting enemies with an arsenal of weapons while avoiding traps, using stealth, and finding items. Spoiler warning, we'll be talking about the ending and attempting to make sense out of this story.
It makes absolutely no sense. So hopefully Ibanez can answer my many, many questions, which I think there are about three of them.
It makes so much sense though. But I think it's just to me at this point.
Hopefully it'll make sense to everyone else by the end of the episode.
Well, let's see about that.
All right, you ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Ibanez, so you're going to do our history for this episode, right?
Yeah, I am. This game was made by Tango Gameworks, as you said, and the leader of Tango Gameworks is Shinji Mikami, and he's a really awesome guy. He's kind of like the grandfather of survival horror. He worked on the original Resident Evil. He is the mind behind Resident Evil 4, which is largely considered one of the greatest games of all time.
That makes so much sense, because the entire time I'm playing this game, I'm like, man, I'm getting some serious Resident Evil 4 vibes from this.
There's a lot of references to the game, to Resident Evil 4, in this game, which is awesome, because it's one of my favorite games. So seeing those the first time I played through, it was like everything I ever wanted. Nice. When it was revealed, it was revealed under the code name in 2012 of Project Zwei, and that's like when they announced that Shinji Mikami was working on it. But at that time when they had revealed it, it was actually supposed to be a survival, like sci-fi open world game with horror elements, but they scrapped that later on and went full survival horror. It just didn't work.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I don't know. This story seems like it has some sci-fi elements to it.
It definitely has some sci-fi elements.
So they didn't like totally scrap that.
No, but the open world part, they did scrap. That actually comes into play in the second game, is more open world-ish.
Ooh. Yeah, I was kind of curious. Like, it feels like parts of this game were inspired by like PT. Do you guys ever play that demo?
Yeah, I did. I was lucky enough to play it before it was not available anymore.
I didn't play that one, but we did do Layers of Fear, which was heavily based off of that game.
Yeah, I don't know when PT came out. I think this may have come out before PT.
August 2014, I think.
Oh, okay.
Because I looked it up today.
Okay, so this came out only a few months later in October.
So
it couldn't have been that influenced by they were pretty much already had it made by the time that came out. But, like, there's definitely some things in this game that remind me of other games, like the classical music that they picked. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it's the same song they play in Bioshock.
I don't know if it is.
Or it sounds really similar.
It might be.
And then, like, the syringe things for your health, like, those look kind of similar to what's in Bioshock 2, which, I don't know. Like, it's probably not related. It's probably just me making like a correlation, but
I always wonder what they're like injecting themselves with, like when they inject themselves with these drugs that like heal them instantly.
Vitamins, essential oils. It's probably like lemon and lime extract. I don't know.
Well, they're so amazing, and they're just left all over the place. Like a lot of these zombies clearly need. What's in that vial? Why aren't they using it?
They're smart enough to wear a harpoon gun, but not smart enough to know to try to inject themselves with this stuff.
Yeah. There's an anti-vax joke in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I can feel that. But, yeah, so it was announced in 2013, and when they announced it, they didn't show any gameplay. They announced it with a live action trailer, which is really awesome. So go and watch that if you've not seen it. Yeah.
So like real actors.
Yeah, real
like,
actors.
Like what it would be for a movie.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like, this trailer is nuts. It's like they show Laura in it. They show Boxhead. They show all of them in it. And but it's all live action. So.
Wow.
That's crazy. I bet they had to have a pretty high budget for that too, because that's a lot of like special effects, makeup, and stuff.
So for the history, I tried to find what the budget of the game was, and I can't anywhere. The only thing that I can find is that Shinji Mikami was talking about other big horror games getting these huge budgets of $30 million, and he was not able to get anything like that. They weren't that fortunate, so he had to make do. So it's under $30 million. I know that. And yeah, but the live action trailer looks really good.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we'll have to go back and watch that.
Yeah, maybe we can post that on our Facebook page or something too.
Yeah, it's called Psycho Break in Japan, and in Japan when they released it, they actually censored a lot of it to achieve a 17 and up rating. So like in the morgue, a lot of the bodies are uncovered and gross. Not in that version, they're covered up and they've taken out a lot of the gore, but there is actually a DLC that restored it. So
oh,
nice.
That's how they got around it, I guess.
I feel
that's
like funny. Psycho Break is a way cooler name than The Evil Within. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm wondering why they changed it, like, for Western audiences.
I don't know. Maybe, like, a lot of this game is homage to what Shinji Mikami did before. So maybe there's something there, like how Resident Evil is called Biohazard in Japan, but it's Resident Evil here.
Okay. Hmm. Huh.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Fun facts.
Yeah, it uses id Tech 5, which is actually a first-person shooter engine for, like, Wolfenstein The New Order and Rage. But they had to heavily modify it to work with The Evil Within.
Do you know how they had to modify it?
Nope. Absolutely not. They just said they did. The asylum in the game was heavily inspired by the Winchester Mystery House in California, which is like a haunted house in California where the architecture is all like crazy and staircases lead to nowhere.
Oh, I know this house. A serial killer lived there, right? And he had all these secret passageways built into it, so basically he wouldn't get caught.
That could be right.
Doing stuff.
It could be wrong.
Is this a real house or a haunted house?
It's a real house.
The house I'm talking about is real, and the one he's talking about is real. I'm not sure if they're the same house, but yeah. There are definitely are houses that people have made specifically so they can do creepy ass shit in them.
Yeah.
And not get caught.
My mom took a tour of the Winchester Mystery House once upon a time, and Jason Alexander of Seinfeld was in her group.
What? Yeah.
I always knew that dude was a serial killer.
Well, she said he had like this big trench coat and glasses on, and she was like, he did not want people to know who he was, but that was George Costanza from Seinfeld.
That's so funny.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, Mikami talked about how horror games at the time had like leaned into all this action, and you know, when you look at like Resident Evil 5 and ultimate turd in the bed of Resident Evil 6.
Yeah, they really went too much action. Yeah, I agree with that. RE4 was like the height of the it needs to be a balance, you know.
Right.
You definitely want some action in there, but you can't have just all action, and it just because then it's not scary at all.
Yeah. You have to have a break every now and then to let your heart beat, chill out.
I can totally see why they would lean into that, because I loved that and I was missing that at the time. So when this came out, it was like, that's all I played for the month that it came out.
So did you see the trailer when it came out, or like how did you know about the game?
As soon as I saw Shinji Mikami was working on a new game, I knew that he was the guy behind Resident Evil 4. I was so excited. Resident Evil 4 being one of my favorite games of all time. So I was watching all the trailers, and at the time I was like dirt poor and not sure how I was going to afford this new game.
I know. It's probably like 60, 70 bucks.
Yeah, it was 60 bucks. But my birthday's in October. And my wife surprised me with the game on my birthday. So
that's sweet.
Yeah, it's a good memory.
Aw, yay. That's awesome. Yeah, there's definitely like some companies and certain like people that I follow, and if they come out with a new game, like, okay, that's probably gonna be fun.
Yeah, I'm getting more into that, like just knowing who the good studios are and stuff like that and learning that. And I've kind of gotten to the point where I'm trying to avoid more of the AAA titles and the bigger studios because I feel like the quality is kind of, I don't know, it's there, but they're not always that fun. I don't know. I feel like sometimes an indie developer who's really passionate can do something even better than like a AAA, like big studio.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of these AAA developers feel like the developers feel really passionate about the game and they're like, I want to create this really fun game. And then the publisher comes in behind them and is like, well, how are we going to make extra money on it after it comes out?
Yeah.
So they have to diminish large aspects of the game to basically reach into our wallets. And yeah, it's a nightmare.
Yeah. And I feel like sometimes when you have more of a limit, you know, a limitation on your creativity, you get something more creative. Whereas if you just have all the money in the world, unlimited concepts that you can do, it's almost like too many options. So I think having limitations sometimes makes people more creative.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know?
The last thing for the history, there wasn't a whole lot I could find, but the last thing is just the controversy surrounding the post-release, which is they made some changes through some updates version 1.6 specifically, where the game has letterboxing in it to where the top and bottom of the screen has these big black bars. And it wasn't until that update that they even allowed that to be toggled on or off. And if you toggle it off, you can see so much more of the game.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So, and I think it's on by default. So if you didn't toggle it off, you guys may have played with it on.
You probably did.
Yeah, may have. I didn't notice it though. Huh. I'll have to check that out.
Especially in like the Laura fight, there are times where you have to be shooting up, and with the letterbox, you can't see where she's crawling around. So you have to constantly keep looking down to see if she's there. Without the letterboxing, that fight is so much easier.
Oh, wow.
Gotcha.
So that was, you know.
So the letterboxing is probably intentional to make it harder, I guess.
Yeah, it was to make it more cinematic and, yeah, to, you know, make you feel even more claustrophobic, which is what this game is all about.
It does a good job of that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The update also made it to where on the casual setting, it dropped more ammunition, but players are like, I have seen some heated debates over the last couple days on forums of people like, no, they added drop rate to everything in the game across all difficulties. And people are like, it's easier now. I beat it when it, you know, first came out, and I'm a purist, and people are really upset about it. But I
so people are saying answer. Instead of just adding more stuff to the easy mode, they just added more to all of the modes, so it made all of them easier.
Yeah,
dang.
I don't know if
that sucks
true.
For those people. Yeah, I played on casual mode. I thought it could have been easier.
It's by no means an easy game.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I feel like some of those boss fights, especially the when they have the instant kill, it doesn't really matter what difficulty it's on.
You die in one hit.
They didn't make the bosses, like, it didn't seem like they made the bosses any slower and casual when I was watching you play.
Yeah. The only thing is I get an eyeball when there's, like, an enemy around.
Yeah, they made,
there's, like, a little eyeball on the screen that pops up, so you kind of know, like.
On the normal difficulty, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have that.
Yeah, I didn't see it on mine. Maybe I put it on harder. On accident.
Did you play on PlayStation or did you play on PC? Or
I did. Yeah, I played on PlayStation.
PlayStation? That's two. Okay.
I was going to stream it. My PC cannot handle streaming that game and playing it at the same time.
Too much.
You want to talk about the story?
Yeah, me? Yes, I do want to talk about the story, but yeah, I'm not the expert. We're going to let Ibanez be the expert.
Well, I
want to
hear where we get.
So I wrote a bunch of stuff down, and I assume it's right because I wrote it down. Yeah, but I'm still confused about a lot of what happens in the story. So as I understand it, you play as Sebastian Castellanos, a police detective investigating a mass murder at a hospital. That's how it starts off, right?
That's accurate.
Okay.
I have
and this
everything
shit
right.
goes down.
Yeah, you have your two partners, Joseph Oda and Julie Kidman, who you kind of like don't see a lot of in the beginning because you keep warping all over the place.
Yep, that's also true.
There's also a brain machine or something that you're all tied into, and it's making you share a combined consciousness with everyone in it. Is that right?
That is mostly accurate.
I don't understand is how he gets on the, like, it's on like Wi-Fi.
Yeah, something. Is it Bluetooth?
Yeah, so you're actually right. There is a wireless connection at the beginning of the game when they are driving to the asylum and they're all in the car and they hear that loud, like, screeching noise.
Okay.
That is them being pulled into the machine.
What?
And everything from that point forward, you're already in the machine.
Okay, and, that makes sense.
Because of, you know, brainwave patterns or whatever, they have to plug you into it. So they actually came and grabbed all their bodies and plugged them into the milk baths.
So, okay, so yeah. That just kind of like
up there.
That just kind of disabled them, and then when they hooked them in, then they kept going.
That keeps their connection going so that they don't ever fall out of connection.
Okay, I gotcha. Weird.
Yeah.
My next question is, why the fuck did they do that?
So
like the thing is, okay, so they built this brain machine. Why did they build the brain machine?
So
well, Ruvik did, right?
Yeah, it was like Ruvik and Dr. Marcelo Jimenez.
Yeah, so basically Ruben was working on this and Jimenez saw all of the, you know, work he was doing. It was like, oh man, I want to work with this guy. He's got some cool stuff going
Wait,
on.
Is his name Ruben?
His name is Ruben.
And then it changes to Ruben when he goes evil.
So his name is Ruben Victoriano.
Yeah.
And when ultimately he decides he doesn't want to work with like the big evil organization. Remember, this Resident Evil spinoff game, essentially, like spiritually. So there's always a big evil corporation.
Yeah.
Their name is Morbius.
And, oh, yeah, yeah.
Morbius actually wanted Ruvik out of the picture, or Ruben at the time out of the picture. So he wouldn't build the machine the way they wanted. He had built it in a way to where only his brainwave could, like, activate it and stuff. So what they did was they killed him, took his brain out of his body, and put it into an incubation thing in the machine so that the machine would run. And to completely dehumanize him, they took just an anagram of his first name and last name, Ruben Victoriano Ruvik, and call him Ruvik. So, like, completely wiping Ruben from the history books, trying to, at least.
Again, cool. Why did they build this machine?
So they ultimately they built the machine because they want to plug everybody into it and have complete control over the populace while they're just sitting in these milk baths.
So they want to plug everyone in the fucking world into these machines.
Essentially, yeah.
Like creating
a lot of bathtubs.
A Matrix type situation. I feel like they don't have that many bathtubs. I feel like
well, that's
there was like 10 maybe at the most, and they probably need at least billions.
Well, you think about it, you know, everybody's got a house and it took a long time to get there. They're willing to bet that over time they could get enough bathtubs for every person.
That's true. They might even be able to convince people to just hook themselves up in their own bathroom.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because
and pay them for it.
they do want to present it as like, this is a paradise. Look, it's not supposed to go as terribly south as it does in the game. Like, Ruvik is an evil individual, and his mind at the helm of the whole thing is what twists everything. And actually, that's why you see the characters in the game, all of the enemies were people who would succumb to Ruvik's like evil weird mind, and they themselves would get taken over by their own evil within.
That's
why Joseph is not as strong as Sebastian is, so he starts struggling immediately with trying to turn. But he's stronger than the everyday like citizen that got sucked into the machine, and that's why Sebastian doesn't start showing signs of conversion until like the end.
What about Kidman, who's like totally unaffected by everything?
She took some drugs. I know, this is crazy. So she works for Morbius.
Yeah.
And Morbius was initially like, hey, we want you to go get Leslie and bring him here because his brainwave patterns matched Ruben's in a lot of ways.
Oh, okay.
He can also control the machine, so they need him. But
I kept wondering why Leslie was so important. I was like, why do I have to save this guy?
Dr. Jimenez essentially took him and was like, screw you, Morbius. I don't want to work with you guys anymore, and was going to do things himself. So Morbius was sending Kidman in undercover. You know, she had worked with the police department as like a mole and everything. So they were like, bring those two detectives, and that'll keep everybody preoccupied. You'll take these drugs so that you're not affected by anything, and your job is strictly to get Leslie out of there and back to us. So that's all she's trying to do, and prevent Ruvik from inhabiting his consciousness when he comes back to life, thus bringing Ruvik back into our world. He was trying to inhabit Leslie's body.
Okay.
And ultimately,
I thought he was trying to do something. I wasn't sure who it was. I guess it was Leslie who he was trying to take it, because I thought he was trying to take over Sebastian's body at some point.
There's a lot of layers to this story. A lot of layers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. There's a lot to unpack.
I feel like we're talking about Metal Gear Solid 2 again. I love it. Just kidding. This is nowhere near Metal Gear Solid 2.
Odd to think that like these weird milk baths and all the craziness that we saw, and we're still like, this is nothing compared to weird spy story of Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid gets so crazy. So yeah, you occasionally go to your safe space. It has a nurse and a creepy machine.
Safe space, where you
give yourself upgrades and the green goo you harvest from dead enemies. I like how your character like will be in the middle of a conversation, and like you see something on the ground, like some brain goo or whatever, and you start going down. I can imagine them like, what the hell are you doing? Like, why are you grabbing that stuff that came out of that dead zombie?
Yeah, it's really gross.
Yeah, no, I'm just grabbing this brain juice.
Well, and it makes like a slurp noise every time you go. I called it slurp juice all through the game. There's so many ridiculous things, and like the nurse in general, it's on my cons list of like, she kept shutting the damn doors in that place. Why is she shutting the doors? It's just me and her. Leave them open.
I know.
Nothing's in there with us. Sebastian can quick open doors if you double press the button, but not in there. It's just slow for no reason.
Wait, you can quick open doors?
Oh no, Nikki.
Dang it. No, man. I probably wasted an extra hour opening doors in this game. Damn it.
Yeah, that's all my cons.
It's the story of my life.
We'll get into that. Do you guys want to move into pros and cons?
Sure.
Unless you have anything else you want to say about the story.
There's too much to say about the story. There's so much, and so much of it is contained in the DLCs of the game. Like, you guys beat the game, and some of us beat the game.
Yeah,
and, you don't even get most of what I just said in that.
I got almost none of what you were saying.
So the DLC, is it like an extra, like, four chapters or something, like added on to the end? So, or what is the DLC?
There were three DLCs that were released.
Dang.
And two of them were, like these kind of side campaigns where you play as Kidman and you uncover a lot more of the story. The third DLC, you actually play as Boxhead the Executioner.
What?
And you've got a series of objectives where you just got to go and murder people.
So, that sounds kind of awesome, actually.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That does sound sweet. Yeah, that dude is pretty fucking scary, man.
Oh my god, so
he moves
scary.
So much faster than you think he should.
I know.
He's got that meat sack that he swings at you. It's gross.
And I don't know. Talking about like the claustrophobic aspect of the game, I feel like every mini boss or boss fight in this game takes place in a very tiny room. Mm-hmm. And so like, you really have no place to go. You can run to the different corners, but they're not very far apart, so you have to be really good at like shooting and aiming and stuff, like, and being really fast with your weapons
and sprint dodging and stuff like that. Yeah, the timing on your movement is
really
important.
Sprint dodge?
Oh no.
Well, you know, just sprint away.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Just sprint out of the way. Yeah.
I thought it was
not
a,
like, there's not like a dodge button.
Sometimes, you know, in Mario, there's like, you know, sprint dodge. That sounds like a whole nother move. And I'm like, dang, another thing that I didn't know about. Like,
that's a whole nother.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know about. You weren't sprint dodging, Nikki?
Well, I didn't know about quick open for the doors. So
yeah, you know,
what
Sebastian
else didn't I know?
Wave dash out of the way.
Dang it. I'll start by saying this game is really beautiful. Like, everything looks pretty realistic for 2014.
Graphics have aged pretty well considering when it came out,
which is hilarious because that is like the biggest thing I see online is people like, these graphics are crap, there's like a couple of good ones, like good vistas, and then everything else is garbage. And
really?
I find that to be the complete opposite. I was looking at it like, look at all these particle effects, the lighting is so good because of id Tech Engine 5.
Yeah,
I think it's great.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it looks good. These people aren't playing all the games we've been playing. Yeah. We've been playing some pretty old ones, like from the 90s. So this is definitely like a major upgrade from that.
Yeah, we just did Mario 64. Yeah, the particle effect. Wait, no, there wasn't.
they had drop shadows, okay? They didn't even...
They went straight down.
Yeah.
Just real and big that was polygons. Fancy.
Yes.
Real big polygons, yeah. You got to be able to see the edges.
So what's something that you liked, Eric?
Like I was saying earlier, I like the balance in horror and action. It feels really good. It feels RE4-like, which is why I like it. And again, that's like one of my favorite Resident Evil games, Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 4. But yeah, it's really solid, I feel like. Just a good balance.
Yeah, they give you like a good amount of breaks in between the action so that you have time to kind of change your mood a little bit and you're not just like scared the whole time or like panicked the whole time. You can have like different emotions.
all the full spectrum of emotions.
Exactly.
Yeah, I experienced everything playing this game, that's for sure. One of my pros, I really like the enemy design.
Yeah.
I think the enemy design, like Laura looks awesome, Box Head looks cool, and then like even some of the like lower end zombie characters are really awesome.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they have cool stories, like because it all takes place inside Ruvik's mind. Like if you notice the enemies who like grew two heads,
mm-hmm.
that's somebody with like multiple personality disorder that was sucked into the machine, and because their consciousness is kind of split in two, that's what they materialized inside the machine.
That's so, cool.
Like, oh wow,
all of the enemies in the game have kind of like cool psychological backgrounds like that.
Do you know like the background story for the creepy ones that kind of crawl on the ground that you have to basically step on to like kill
the babies?
Yeah,
they're kind of like babies, but they're not tiny like babies. I don't know,
they're weird looking. Yeah
they were gross. There's no official, like I couldn't find anything officially for those, but the most convincing thing I see online is just that those are like other smaller personalities inside people's heads that have kind of like spawned off of them, which is why they're not like babies, they're just smaller versions of that other character because it's their other personalities.
Those
are so creepy. Yeah.
But yeah, I like all the variants you have, all of the different types of enemies.
Me too. They definitely keep it creepy. Like it's just like once you think you've seen every type of zombie, it's like, nope, here's a fat one. Here's like a super duper fat one.
Or an invisible one.
Or here's like with the two siblings that were giants. Those are pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Pretty scary.
How did
too.
You guys fare with the invisible ones inside the
asylum? I had to look up help. I'm like,
I eventually figured out if you melee into the air, you can kind of like see where they are, sort of, because you'll hit them.
Then
I just shot in that area. It worked about 50% of the time.
Yeah, what I would do, I had to try to figure out a strategy where I wasn't wasting all my ammo on the guys, just like trying to shoot blindly at them. But yeah, I would like melee them. I'd wait for them to like do their little counterattack, and then like there'd be a moment where you could get a good headshot in there. That's how I would do it. So yeah, it's like punch, move out of the way, shoot in the head.
Nice. Yeah, I always just put things in between us. Like in all those rooms, they have like hospital beds and trash cans and like IV bag stands and stuff. And if you actually like get behind those, you'll see them move them out of the way.
Yeah.
And you can know exactly where to shoot them.
Yeah, okay.
I did see them move things, but I had trouble like predicting where they would move. I don't know. Like I would see a chair move, but then I'm like, well, are they this way or this way? And then I ended up missing them when I shot. I'm like, dang, I'm really bad at this. The story for this game is awesome. Keeps you on your toes. You don't really know what's going to happen next. Like, I think they did a really good job with the creativity of the story.
It's definitely creative.
Story's okay.
Were you able to predict the end, Eric?
I had no idea what was going on.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of had that as more of a con, but, you know, it was good. Parts of it were good, I thought, and then parts of it were kind of like, I feel like, well, we'll get into the cons later.
Okay.
I'll save that. But one of the pros I had is I thought the game was really scary. I don't know what it was, whether I was just playing, like, it seemed like it stormed, like, every fucking night I was trying to play this game.
Dude, me too. I'm, like, streaming, and in the stream, I'm like, I don't, know if that was in the game because I'm wearing headphones or if my mic is picking up real loud thunder. Like, yeah. It was awful.
It'd be like, yeah, it'd be like storming. Doom would start doing shit because, yeah, our cat.
He knew you were playing something scary. He just wanted to get in on it.
But yeah, it does a good job of keeping you on your toes, even when you think you're in your safe space or something. It'll do something really creepy.
Yeah.
The scariest bit for me was definitely the house where you can't loiter.
Oh, yeah. Where Ruvik will just appear and start chasing you.
Ruvik just shows up randomly, man.
Oh, like right before you go into that big doorway where you have to do all those brain puzzles?
Yeah. The brain puzzles are fine. Like, I didn't mind the brain puzzles, but like, just like, I didn't explore too much there just because he kept showing up and killing me. Like, no, I'd run over the closet and you're supposed to like actually run out of the room and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I go on the bed and then you just walk over and kill me.
You can hide from him.
You can,
according to what they say online.
You have to be out of the room. You have to like go to another room and then hide.
So on my game during that part, there was actually a glitch there because I was playing it and I was running away from him and I hid under the table. And he put his hand over the table and killed me. So I should have started over where, you know, I should have triggered him again and had to run away from him again. But something happened. I guess it registered that I did that part. So when I respawned after I died, he wasn't there anymore. So I just was able to, like, explore.
I think that encounter is kind of randomized. So I think it doesn't always appear in the same spots.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Now, that's what makes it so scary, though, is like you don't know when he's going to show up. He could just not show up, too. And yeah, that's, man, that fucks with me. I hate that.
Yeah, I don't know. He should have popped up, I think. I just think there was a glitch. Something happened. Because, like, I had died already at that part, like, 5 times. And he had come back every single time before that. So, I don't know. I got out easy for that part.
So I really enjoyed, we talked about graphics. I think the graphics are really good. I have that on the cons too, just because there are moments where I was like, okay, well, this looks like trash, but it's also from 2014.
Yeah.
But the balance, I really like the balance of the game feeling. I hate when games give you too much. If it's supposed to be a survival horror game, I don't want to have a ton of ammo. And for the most part, the balance is really good. Towards the end of the story, we'll talk about, because it's on my cons list, but for the most part, the balance was really, really fun and made, like, boss fights especially were a big highlight.
Yeah. The ammo is very sparse, so you really have to try to find ways to kill zombies without, you can't use your guns like every single zombie kill. You have to do other stuff. And sometimes, you just have to avoid or run away or stealth kills or matches.
In casual mode, you don't have to worry about your ammo as much. I was just shooting everybody. I was like, I'll find some more ammo in a second, whatever.
Well, that's good to know. Plenty of ammo in casual mode.
Yeah, but I like the different weapons in this game. So you have like a handgun, a shotgun, sniper rifle, crossbow, and then you also get, what is it, like grenades?
Yeah.
Those things you throw. Yep. And am I missing anything? Mainly it, right?
You get a magnum, but I don't think you actually made it to that point.
Yeah, I didn't make it to that part.
And you get a lot of special weapons are unlocked when you beat the game finally, too.
Oh, really? Yeah. What else do you get?
You get a machine gun.
Oh.
You get a rocket launcher. Then there are like variations of guns that you can unlock for doing other things, like finding all the map fragments.
Oh, cool.
Things like that. It'll unlock like a high piercing sniper that goes through a ton of enemies and all kinds of stuff.
So it
kind of
encourages you to play it again, like with the different stuff.
And I actually realized I have two things that I don't think it's even possible for the two of you to get.
Oh, no.
Because they were like a part of the pre-order edition that I got. Yeah. Which was the incendiary bolt for the agony crossbow and the poison bolt.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, I don't think we have those.
The incendiary one is so good. I don't know how people make it through the game without it. It hits a zombie and then just like a triangle, just jets of flames erupt off the zombie and catch every other zombie in the area on fire.
Oh, like, dang. Wow,
that sounds awesome.
They're great. And I didn't realize until after I beat it and was like looking things up. I was like, wait, not everybody had that?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
That's why you only died 39 times and Eric died 177 times.
This is my second time through as well, so I've played the game before. But yeah, also that for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I like it when games have different weapons and it's not just for fun. Like, they actually do specific things and they're for specific types of enemies. And so you kind of have to figure out, like, what's the best gun to use for which situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
I really like the upgrade paths to the weapons as well. Like, they really change the more that you upgrade. For instance, the harpoon bolt for the crossbow. When you get it to level 5, it's not only crazy powerful, it's also on fire. So it lights whatever you're shooting on fire as well.
Whoa, I should have put more points into the harpoon bolts.
Yeah, because there's also the cheapest to craft, only costing 2 crafting materials.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Yeah, I learned, well, we'll talk about this in strategy, but I learned, upgrading all your weapons and stuff, that's important.
Yeah, it's pretty good. One of the things I liked were the diversity and level designs and layouts. I feel like you go through every scary place that you can think of, like every haunted type situation, like, creepy villages, hospitals, blood-filled sewers, all the stuff.
Yeah.
Creepy forests, creepy things, mm-hmm. creepy places.
If it's creepy, it's there.
It's there. And then it's even creepier once you learn you're, like, in someone's brain. It's like, oh, this is your brain. Dang. That sucks for you.
This is your brain on Ruvik.
Yeah.
The end of the game is so gross when he falls on Ruvik's big brain and it's just, like, slimy.
Yeah.
Like, it's so gross.
Yeah, it definitely gets weird at the end. Con number one, why doesn't he just drop the Jeep that's shooting him in the face? Sorry, final boss, you land in this, like, Jeep with this, like, mounted gun where you're shooting the boss while he's, like, swinging you. Like, why doesn't he just drop you?
The whole end fight is ridiculous. Like, to this point of the game, it's all so claustrophobic, mm-hmm. and I have no ammo. And then they're just like, it's a wave-based horde mode where we're going to give you a ton of ammo. It's so over the top. And then it's just like Ruvik's sitting there. There's a floating Humvee with a mounted machine gun.
And you fall perfectly into. Yeah.
And you're just, it's aimed perfectly at his face. You blow that up for a while.
You can just, like, do like that and, like, make it so it's facing the other way. Like, flip it around in his hand.
He could do anything. And then he throws you and you're sitting there, you're impaled and you're like, oh, it's all over. But no, a soldier falls and lands right next to you holding
with
a
gun.
Rocket, not a gun, a rocket launcher.
Oh yeah, rocket
that you've
launcher.
You've only been seen once or twice to this point. Like, they're not common, but they're that fell right there.
And also, like, 10 rockets of ammunition.
Yeah, it gives you so many rockets.
Where was
like,
that
where was
storing
that?
Those?
Yeah, where'd you keep that?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's very Resident Evil to, like, blow your load at the end and then give the player a rocket launcher. Like, that's in every Resident Evil.
Yeah.
But it felt even more egregious in this game for some reason. I was, like, irritated. You're like, why are they doing this? They could have done this cool, scary, awesome boss fight, and now it's just a big, like, murder monster.
Yeah.
I feel like that's such a cliche. Like, the boss turns into this big, like, super big monster, like, at the end of the game.
Yeah. It was creepy, though.
So one of my cons is just the whole idea of this nurse woman in this.
You hate this nurse lady.
She's so rude to me all the time. I'm like, I'm coming there to relax. I'm nice to her. And she shuts all these doors. This is what she said to me. She's like, oh, you have an odor of blood about you. Like, what? What do you mean?
Thanks, lady.
What does that even smell like? Like, she would just say rude things, and then I would ask a question, and she'd just walk away. That was, like, I would prefer her try to murder me or something. At least I can defend myself. I had no defense for freezing me out.
Yeah, what happens to her? Because, like, she kind of disappears at the end of the game.
Yeah, you see her missing poster, and you're like, oh, she was missing? Oh, she was, and then she's just gone.
Yeah, that bothers me. They don't bother to say what happened to
I'm
her.
Sure there's more story there. I was not able to uncover the truth behind her name, by the way, was Tatiana.
Yes.
And I called her Tati.
Maybe she was, like, Reuben's mom or something.
We need a fourth DLC to, like, work this out.
She wasn't Reuben's mom. We saw his parents, and we saw, like, their corpses at the foot of the
bed
because he murdered them.
I forgot about
that. Yeah, he murdered them.
Good dude.
Yeah. feel like he was almost like cartoonishly evil.
Yeah. Well, and it's like he had romantic relations with his sister too. Like that's like an aspect of the game why he loves Laura so much.
Oh God.
Okay.
Yeah. It's dude. It gets nuts in there.
Oh goodness.
So that can go under cons. I just thought about that.
Yeah. Incest. That goes under the cons.
Con game as incest.
So I'll say, like, immediately right out the gate, almost, this game is sexist because, like, pretty much as soon as they walk into the hospital, Kidman, I don't know, she barely has any lines, and then she pretty much disappears. And then you just have, you know, Sebastian that you're playing as. And then you don't even see another woman until probably Laura or Tatiana. And so, I don't know, I feel like it's a little lacking of the diversity in this game.
Yeah,
there's also no people of color, I don't think. I'm pretty sure
Rubik's
everyone's
mind,
white.
So I think Rubik was just super racist. So we'll go ahead and put that as a con too. He's racist, he's sexist, he likes incest,
and
murders
like,
people.
One of the first police files that you pick up is like one of the cops talking about how he wants to smack the ass of this other female detective. And
that's,
I was like,
that's actually the journal of Sebastian, and he's talking about his wife.
Okay.
Because she was a detective on the force with him. And so he's like, I shouldn't be looking at my partner this way, but I want to smack that ass.
Yeah. And I was like,
when I read that, I was like, what are we doing, Sebastian? And then they ended up getting married. I don't know if that makes it better or.
I mean, it's just random. Like, why did they even have to put that in there? I don't know. It's just, I feel like Reuven could be more diverse in his thoughts.
There's a con for me is how the storytelling is confined so much to some of those journals and things that you might miss.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's this whole storyline about Sebastian losing his child in a house fire.
What?
And yeah.
Yeah. So,
you didn't read that?
No,
read that?
I just kind of skipped over the journals.
So the journals, yeah, they talk about that and how he's struggling with alcoholism and his wife doesn't really talk to him. She was on the force. But they think that his daughter was like, it was a setup and she's not really dead, which, spoiler alert, that's what the second game's about. She's not.
Because, oh my gosh.
What? Yeah, it turns out that his wife works for Morbius.
What?
Yeah.
What?
It's dude, it's so much.
Oh my god.
There's so much story that's confined to those documents that, yeah, you beat the game and you're like, what? He had a kid? What? The kid also died?
Well, yeah, I actually did read all those. It took you through his whole like life story almost, because, you know, it's like he meets his wife and
wants
then she's pregnant. Yeah, and then she's pregnant, and then they have the baby, and then they talk about the kid, and so.
I really should have stopped to read these documents. I feel bad now.
I guess that's like a con for you, Eric. Too much reading.
Too much reading.
I feel like easy mode could have been a little easier. And that might just be me, because, you know, there were certain parts I had to replay, like, a bunch of times. I think I was texting you about that box head fight.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Did my hints help at all?
A little. And then I went and watched a video of someone that did it, and I got a really good piece of strategy, which is when you're using the crossbow, you don't actually have to hit the person with the bow, with the arrow. You can aim it at like a wall near them or on the ground where you know they're going to walk. Kind of set yourself up for success instead of setting yourself up so that you have to be in that hectic moment and shoot like really fast.
Yeah, crossbow.
That helped a lot.
Crossbow is easily the best weapon in the game, just with the bolts and all the stuff you can do with the bolts and stuff.
Yeah, once I figured that out, I beat it like the next try, but I had to watch a video to figure that out. So
coming up with challenges for this game was really tough, because I like some of the challenges I was like looking at online, like a lot of people try to do like no crossbow challenge and stuff like that, and I was like,
man,
I don't want to one make the game so unfun.
Yeah.
You guys hate it. But two, like most of the challenges take away these major elements to the game.
Yeah.
So
that definitely would be a challenge though. If you've played the game a bunch of times, maybe try that, but not the first try, playthrough. Yeah, I think the challenge that you picked was okay, except I didn't realize until I had already been like a couple of chapters in that the keys were in those statues, and I'd been seeing those statues everywhere. I was like, oh, what is that? I'm like, why? That's so random. Like, why is that on the back of that rat? Like, why is that there? And I didn't do anything with it, so I like immediately lost the challenge because I wanted to start the game over again, which I wasn't going
to
do.
Can actually pick individual chapters to start from.
Oh, cool.
So I missed 3 keys in total. But there's 2 that you can miss because there's only 45 lockers and 47 keys.
Mm.
So I was like, that's fine. I'll go back and get one of them so that I can complete the challenge, which I did do.
Oh, good job.
But the fact that they were putting the statues on animals was awesome. Like,
I mean, I should have known. Yeah, I did think. I was like, that's weird. I wonder what that means. And I should have known, but... Eric told me later, he was like, yeah, the keys are in there. And I'm like, what?
It took me a minute too. Like, I didn't find those. So I was already a few chapters in before. But yeah, that was a pretty I feel like I would have had to like look through a walkthrough in order to get all those.
Oh, I cheated. I absolutely cheated 100%. I don't remember where all those are.
I feel like maybe another challenge could have been to try to get all the map fragments. But again, that's kind of similar because like if you miss one, then you have to go back to that chapter to get that
map.
The
map fragments don't give you anything until you actually find all of them. At least with the keys, like every time you find one, you're like, I'm guaranteed to get something in these lockers. So.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. So one of my cons, never in my life have I ever met a man that can only carry 5 matches. Like, why is that a limit?
Well, he's got 4 other weapons plus grenades and honest ammo.
He can break boxes with his bare hands by punching them. He's like the weirdest built hero ever.
Yeah,
like
there's so many loopholes with his health.
He can only sprint for like 2 seconds.
Oh, at the beginning, the sprinting is a huge con. That was the first thing I upgraded.
Me too. I was like, I need to be able to run. But it's like he can get impaled. He can fall a couple stories. All this other stuff, but he can't sprint for 30 seconds or he has to completely stop and catch his breath. He can't even walk and catch his breath. You were stopped.
It seems like he could definitely hold a lot more matches because he's got the temperament of a 40-year smoker.
Exactly. Come on.
Yeah, you think you'd carry like a Zippo or something.
Yeah, you think eventually you would earn something that's reusable.
Yeah.
Nah.
I don't know. It's just such a weird thing, but only in a video game would that be like a limit.
Yeah.
And the matches are like so effective. Like, it's nuts how like good they are, how they can kill so many people.
That's like probably why they only let you have 5 at a time.
Yeah, I know, right?
I had 30 at the end. I could hold 30. That was cool.
It's weird. I got to upgrade my body so I can hold more matches.
Yeah. Like, 30 matches is not even like a box of matches. Like, a box of matches is like 250 matches.
Wow.
And he's like, 30 is where I max out. But I just shoved this shotgun up my ass to be able to hold that. I had 2 shotguns also. You guys didn't. Yeah, I had a double barrel that was also a pre-order bonus, and I could switch those out.
Dang, that's cool.
That's pretty cool.
My game was way easier.
If you miss out on these pre-order things, like, there's no way to get that after. Like, that's really just you only get that one. If you're late to the game, then you're just out of luck.
So, yeah, I definitely had, like, the door opening as a con.
Me too.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't know how to open doors like a normal person. He either has, like, the super, like, incredibly painfully slow method where he, like, slowly nudges the door. You slowly walks in and stands in the middle of the doorway for what feels like an eternity.
It does.
And you can't control him, and you can't look around. You can't do anything.
And when you do look around, it's like that disorienting, weird, like, you're like, just pull it together, Sebastian. Just show me. I want to look down the hallway. There was something there. Don't disorient now.
Yeah. That was like...
His room was... Can we just talk about... His room was shit.
It was shit.
There was no sheet on the bed.
Yeah.
The toilet, though, was oddly clean. Like a pristine, shiny metal toilet.
Oh, why does he need a desk? It's clear. What is he working on in this room? Detective work?
Look, the whole thing was confusing to me. Like, I don't know anything about this save area. Like, the morgue lockers and all. I know nothing. And I feel like they went out of their way to not explain it. Like, I know Sebastian, how he met his wife, that you never see in the game except for one little cutscene in the DLC. And you only see, like, her arm. Somebody's like, all right, well, thank you, Miss Castellanos, or whatever they say. And yeah. It's like her arm, and you're like, oh, she works for the Bureau?
It's pretty funny.
But yeah, I feel like going back to the door thing, it would always cause me like a sense of panic, because you never knew. It would take so long. You never knew if like a zombie was going to be in the room or not.
I love that you could probably kick most of these doors open way faster. It had to be so excruciating for you not knowing that you can fast open doors by double clicking.
Yeah. Dang, I'm always missing really simple stuff like that.
Well, then when you do that, though, it's like you don't want to do that because you alert the room. You don't know what's on the other side of the door. The only doors I felt comfortable doing that are like the ones with the blood where, you know, it's like your safe room or whatever.
Yeah.
Those are the doors you kick open.
Yeah. I don't know. I kicked open a lot of doors and just dealt with the consequences after. But then again, I was way better armed than you guys were.
You get that tool tip, like, zombies can hear you when you open doors loudly.
Some of these zombies sometimes would see me from like 4 miles away, but then sometimes I'd walk by them and it's like broad daylight and they're looking right at me. And they don't see me.
Yeah.
Yeah. In that speed run we were watching, I don't know, this dude would just run by half the zombies and just run by them. Like, and they wouldn't even try to grab him or anything. And he was playing on like the hardest mode, right?
Yeah. He was also using a lot of like flash bolts and electric bolts and stunning and stuff like that.
Yeah, I didn't start utilizing those until later in the game when I realized how useful they could be.
Yeah, it's nuts. I'm not sure why, but like whenever zombies start using guns or operating equipment like cars or motorcycles or something, it kind of takes away from the horror element for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They don't seem so mindless anymore.
Yeah, I think it's because at that point, like, they could literally be like any regular person. And the fact that they're zombies doesn't matter at all.
Especially at the end when the one zombie comes out and he has a freaking harpoon gun or something.
Oh, the RPG?
Yeah, it's like...
You're talking about the very end of the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's the RPG guy.
Yeah. Is he not a zombie?
No, he's a zombie.
Oh, okay,
I think that was the sadist holding the RPG.
Oh, yeah, because then he'll pick up his chainsaw or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Crazy.
No reason for an RPG.
No, and I think to that point we had never seen one, and then just that dude comes busting out. I was like, I got one.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's like, where'd you get that?
And he said it, dude. Sebastian killed him, and then he turned into the brain goo. Did the rocket launcher disappear with him? Why can't Sebastian pick these things up?
Oh, that made me kind of mad early in the game, where you have to get the chainsaw from that one dude, and then
it breaks when you try and
then you use it to cut the thing. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be great, and I'm gonna have a chainsaw. No. You don't. Fuck you.
It's a disposable chainsaw.
Even when you kill other chainsaw guys later, it's like, no, you can't have the chainsaw.
Yep.
That would be such a useful weapon.
A con for me was like, it's kind of a pro as well.
Yeah.
But the dialogue in the game in general is nuts. Like, the part where there's that huge dog creature and you're on the other side and Joseph's like, I don't really want my glasses to see. I just want them to feel normal.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about? Are you kidding me?
He went off there for a little bit. He was like, do you ever feel like you're on the edge all the time?
And Sebastian's like, I just fought a girl that emerged from a pool of blood and I had to burn her 18 times.
And she had like 6 legs.
6
you
arm
lost
legs.
Your glasses, Joseph. Jesus.
But I could relate, man. If I did not have my glasses and I was trying to go through something like that, you might as well just kill me away. Like, I wouldn't be able to see anything.
Wait, no, but it's not because you can't see. It's because you don't feel normal without them.
That's true.
You asshole. Yeah, I enjoyed the story, or what I could make sense of the story, but I feel like it was just a cop-out to put you in all these different scary locations. It's like, all right, how do we get you into this other scary place? Oh, you warped. Oh, how do we get rid of your partners? Oh, they got pulled under the ground, and now they're just gone for a little while.
But which is like, why doesn't Ruvik warp him away later on when he's getting close to like beating him? They make Ruvik out to be omnipotent in this area, and then it's just... But sometimes... You're killing Laura again, like his love, his sister.
Yeah.
He's just sitting over there like, oh, yeah, well, let's see how this plays out, I guess.
Pretty much. That's all my cons. You guys got anything else?
No, I don't have any more cons.
Want to talk about strategy?
Sure.
I'm sure you got a bunch, Nikki.
Yeah, so you know me, Captain Strategy over here. I think one of the good things is to level up your stuff all the time. Just constantly try to level up all your stuff. And I think I waited too long to start upgrading my crossbow bolts and stuff. Like, I think if I play again, I'll probably try to upgrade those a little faster, because I was upgrading my handgun and stuff that I wasn't using. I don't think it would be as helpful. I think it would have been helpful to upgrade the crossbow more
earlier. Yeah, my number one thing that I tried to upgrade as quickly as possible was the explosive bolt on the crossbow. I would save up all my parts and, like, for hard situations where you had just a ton of, like, the zombies. Or I guess they're not called zombies. They're called the Haunted.
Yeah, they're called the Haunted.
Oh, might be.
Yeah, they're zombies.
Well, and, like, they even call them zombies in interviews and stuff. Like, the game developers most of the time. And they'll even be like, they're the Haunted, but they're zombies.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like those are great for breaking up hordes of zombies because, you know, the explosions would knock them away and do a bunch of damage. Same thing with boss fights. Like, I felt like that was a good way to do a bunch of damage, was a bunch of explosive bolts, and then you can scatter them around so you can put them in between you and the enemy, and they would walk on them and explode and stuff.
Yeah.
So generally my strategy was just light everything on fire. If there was a way to light it on fire, it was getting lit on fire.
Okay. It was like knock it on the ground with either your pistol or shotgun, and then run over and, like, light a match real quick.
I probably should have used the matches
more. The matches were my I think that was the first thing I maxed out, was being able to hold matches, because there were times where I would kill 3 and 4 zombies with one match, because I would get one on the ground and then stand over them and wait for the zombies to surround me and then throw a match down. Which you have to time right.
I feel like I would probably just die if I tried to do that. I definitely have
tried to do that and mistimed it many times.
Oh, yeah. Many mistimings that led to just things where I was like, I shouldn't have gotten hurt there. There was no reason to take damage there, but I was just trying to get cocky with my matches.
Yeah.
Matches are by far the strongest weapon in the game, and he can hold 4 of them.
That's why.
Hardly...
You hold 4 grenades, and these are not like the... holding your hand grenade. These are like the long grenades on a stick.
Oh yeah, like batons.
And he's gonna 4 of those.
Like, I don't think I used the matches to their full potential, because I was really not using the matches very much. So I think, I probably need to do that.
Yeah, you gotta up that match game, Nikki.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, shooting the bolts and trying to set yourself up to where the haunted or zombies are gonna run to you, instead of trying to shoot them while they're running at you, that helped me a lot. That strategy helped me a lot.
Yeah, and then, like, if you know where they're going to spawn, like, if you can be in a room before they spawn and you've died a bunch already, you can kind of set up the traps, like, before they even start coming in.
Yeah, that's true.
My big thing was, like, I would constantly have ammo that I couldn't hold any more of, so I would just try to use that particular weapon so that I could pick up all of the ammo I could. I wasn't wasting ammo, so, like...
Yeah.
Pistol, that happened with a lot, because I got to where I was like, well, the pistol takes so long, I'm not going to use it much, so I would just have this wealth of ammo for it.
Yeah I always feel like when you're in scary situations where you just need to knock something over so you can light it on fire, it's like shotgun. Because it's so good, like, you can, like, one shot will knock him to the floor, and then you can run over and hit him with a match.
So the pistol can do that too if you shoot him in the leg.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What? A pistol will knock him to the ground right away, and you can match him up.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Dang.
Pistol was really good for that, and the shotgun, of course, was really, really good for that. But the harpoon bolt was so good because I would get them, like, run in a circle and get them all lined up, and then the harpoon pierces. So
yeah.
I would harpoon, like, 3 of them, and they would all be stuck in the same thing. And then
cool.
I would match, and they would all go up. So,
oh, that's pretty cool.
And like I said, it was the cheapest to craft that bolt. So
yeah.
Dang.
That's cool.
That's pretty neat. I bet that looked cool, too.
I tell you, it felt great.
So I feel like my main strategy overall, die a lot.
What?
I mean, like, a lot. I died so many times. By the end of the game, I had died 177 times, which feels like a lot.
That's a lot,
yeah.
I think. I mean, for me, it's probably going to be like 250 or something, though. So
it feels like it probably was more than like your average gamer. I don't know.
I'm not going to lie. I impressed myself with my death score at the end. I was like, how did I get out of this only dying like 39 times?
Yeah, that's good. That's because you had those extra weapons.
I had extra weapons, and I had the benefit of like, oh, I remember this. I played this a long time
ago. Yeah, yeah. So
it had been 8 years since I played it, but it all came back. It was like riding a bike.
I feel like as much as you don't want to in this game, because it's scary, it's very crucial to explore like all those little side rooms and side hallways and stuff like that.
You get rewarded for it, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, that's where you find most of the like brain pills and stuff.
Yeah, I feel like you kind of have to, man, because the game does not give you many resources, so you're trying to get like every bullet you can.
Yeah,
well, and that's probably something that made it a little easier for me too. I opened every locker along the way for the most part until the very end chapter. There was one locker I couldn't open. It stacks brain fluid, so early on, like every three lockers you open is going to give you like 5,000 brain fluid, and then after a certain number of lockers open, it jumps to 10,000 every three, and then 15,000, and then it was giving me 20,000 brain fluid every time. I
would open
three lockers. So I was upgrading like crazy. I had all these bolts. I had syringes that were just like left there, and I'd come back and pick them up later when I needed them. And,
like, so by the end of your game, were you pretty much like level five on it? Everything?
Hard no.
Really?
Dang. I went back through and I actually played the chapter where with the Laura fight in the furnace because that's where I missed one.
Mm-hmm.
And after I opened the locker, it gave me 200,000 brain fluid for opening all lockers. And I went and just on like an upgrade spree. Mm-hmm. I also played that on casual to do it very quickly. And it was giving me like double and triple brain fluid for some reason. So I was like, oh, I'm about to max everything out. Nope, not even close.
Wow. Yeah, that's nuts.
Dang. So you need a lot to max everything out. So you really have to pick what you want, what's important.
I wonder,
because you're not going to be able to level everything up.
Didn't you hear something about like someone doing like the box head fight and just like seeing how many times they could kill him to like harvest the brain stuff?
Yeah, I was like, this dude on Reddit was just seeing how much brain, what are they called, brain pills or brain?
It's called green gel. I call it brain fluid or slurp juice.
What are the ones where it's like, I thought it was just like a jar of pills. And then it was like for the brain. It's like, is that different?
It's like a jar of green jelly.
Okay. My bad. I was thinking they were two different things for some reason. But yeah, you know how every time you kill the box head guy, you can go pick up some of that. And so this guy was just trying to see how much the limit was. Mm-hmm. And the limit is 35. You can kill him 35 times before he doesn't respawn again.
I think I killed him like 8 or 9 times in my box head fight.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty smart. I wouldn't even think of that. Like, because he was so hard, I'm like, I'd probably die before I got all this stuff.
You also need a ton of ammo to do that. So
yeah.
He probably was stacking ammo or something.
How did you do with the double box head fight?
Oh, actually, that wasn't too bad.
Yeah, you were super stocked by that point because you just had that big arena-style fight. I had a ton of fun with that fight. I think that fight was like one of the most fun in the game.
Well, it was, to me, that wasn't too bad because he's not constantly respawning, right? You just have to kill him once. And I mean, they're a lot hardier versions.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, and you have a much bigger area to kind of run around, so.
And they don't climb things very well. So like I would just climb up a ledge and like look down at them, blast them a bit, jump down. It took them a really long time.
Yeah, I would just run to the edge of the room and it's like, oh, they're still all the way back there. So, you know, use your sniper, use your bolts. Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah,
the speed run we saw, the guy just used the sniper rifle and just, it was like bang, bang, bang,
well,
bang,
no,
bang,
bang. Well, no, he set a few explosive bolts.
Oh, like, yeah, he did set a few of those up.
And then he pretty much, between those and the sniper rifle, he pretty much just
made it look super easy.
Well, the upgrades are really deceiving, too. Like, you don't think, like, oh, I should up the critical rate. Because in most games, when you up the critical rate, by the end of the game, you're like, I have a 30% critical rate, whereas I had 5 early on.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Evil Within. I realized this after I had that 200,000 brain juice. I went to upgrade the critical for the pistol. The level 5 is 100% critical rate.
What?
And it turned the pistol into, like, the best weapon in the game. I'm, like, running through. I was like, I gotta see what this does. So I loaded into the next chapter, and sure enough, I'm popping heads on every single one of them, because they're all criticals.
Yeah, I had my handgun, the accuracy up pretty like high, and it would pretty much just automatically lock on to the heads as soon as I went to aim.
I think that was in casual mode. Because
There was no auto aim in my mode.
Yeah, that was definitely a casual mode thing, but it did make it really easy to shoot them in the head. It helped me a lot. Any more pieces of strategy?
Oh, yeah, there are a couple of spots I got stuck, and my strategy was just to look stuff up. Like, what the fuck does this game want me to do?
I'm a big component of, like, if you're stuck, don't beat yourself over the head about it. Like, go ahead, look it up, and keep having fun with the game. Like, yeah. I hear so many people put down games because, like, I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, why didn't just look it up and then keep having fun?
Yeah.
It's nuts to me that people are like, no, I've got to do it myself. Sometimes you're not going to figure this stuff out. It's kind of like old Zelda games.
And if it gets to the point to where you're like really frustrated, to where you're wanting to like throw the controller or something, then are you really having fun? Like, I'm not if I get to that point. So I'm just like, I'd rather look it up. And like you said, just keep having fun instead of getting really frustrated to the point to where I want to like cry or something. Like, I can't do this.
That's why I cheated with the keys.
All right. So moving on to future stuff. You guys find anything for the future of The Evil Within?
Yeah, there are some murmurs online that they have began developing The Evil Within 3.
Ooh.
The second game is a lot of fun. There's a camp of people who think it's better than the first. There's a bigger camp of people who think the first is better.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm going to have to replay through 2 to draw my conclusion. I love 2 as well.
Well, they sound different. You know, you said the second one was way more open world, right?
Yeah. So it's kind of like there's these big open areas and you can go and explore and do what you want. But then there's like underground tunnels and that connects you to another level with a load screen. That's a big open area. So it's kind of like it's not fully open.
Yeah.
It's segmented open
world. Gotcha.
Okay.
But so it's just a rumor right now, though.
It's just a rumor right now. Tango Gameworks just came out with Ghostwire Tokyo, so we don't know what their next game is yet. They were purchased by Microsoft not long ago, through the Bethesda deal. So we'll see. I'm hoping for a third game.
I was actually reading, and I think Ghostwire Tokyo started off as an Evil Within game, but they kind of like changed it midway through. But after reading the title, or after reading kind of the description, my understanding is Ghostwire Tokyo is basically the Ghostbusters.
Absolutely, yes.
What? It sounds so much scarier. It's like Ghostwire sounds scary for some reason.
But the hand animations are awesome. Like, you don't have a weapon in that game, and it's first person. So all of your fighting is like through hand movements like that, where you're like shooting magic at ghosts and capturing them. And the ghosts are like
fun.
The ghosts are like headless Japanese schoolgirls.
Oh jeez.
Like and like Japanese businessmen with like blank faces and stuff. Like, it sounds scary, but it's honestly it's kind of silly.
It's not as scary as it sounds.
Maybe they started to try to make one and they're like, this isn't scary enough. We got to call it something else.
Sebastian, this just doesn't work for him.
Yeah.
I'm going to magic you, ghost.
Yeah, so I didn't really see anything else besides that.
Yeah, me either.
No official announcements on Evil Within 3, but...
I'm honestly surprised Netflix hasn't picked it up for a movie series or something. This would be a pretty good...
Yeah.
I could actually see this being a pretty cool movie if they did it right. You know, that's always the caveat, right? If they do it right.
I'm going to put it out there and say they've ruined enough of the things that I love. they don't have to touch it.
Don't risk it.
They don't have to touch it.
They don't.
Yeah. Not every IP needs a movie or TV series.
I'm not saying it needs it, but I'm just saying I could see it.
There's like 4 different Resident Evils at this point. And they're coming out with the show on Netflix soon, and also looks bad. I don't know.
Is it going to be based on the movies or based on the video games? Or
yes, I don't know. Nobody knows.
Oh god.
I mean, how many Resident Evil games are there though? Isn't there like?
There's a lot.
There's a lot besides the main ones. I think there's 8 now. Is that right?
Yeah, so Resident Evil 8 or Village, which that's a whole nother thing. They're saying it's not Resident Evil 8, but Village has the Roman numeral for 8 in it, and they highlight it. So most people call it Resident Evil 8. It is it's the sequel to 7, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then you've got, like, the Revelations games.
Yeah, and they're, like, all these different, like, subsections of Resident Evil games, too.
There's technically a Resident Evil 0, so even 8 is technically 9. It's a lot. They're mostly all great, though. I love the Resident Evil series.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't played any. Well, I think I played Resident Evil 7 for, like, hot minute.
You mean
was that the one they just redid that you got?
No, it was it was the remake.
Was that the one I played a little bit?
Yeah,
but man, I need to revisit that and like finish playing it all the way, because I didn't get very far before I got sidetracked.
They just kind of like remastered 2 remake, 3 remake, and 7 for modern consoles and PC and stuff. So if you haven't checked them out, you should.
Now's a good time.
All 3 of those are great.
Awesome.
Cool. All right. So your challenge.
All the lockers.
All the lockers. There's like fucking
45.
I think I got like 12 or 13.
So wait, there's only how many chapters? 15 chapters?
Yeah.
So
there's between 3 and 5 keys a chapter.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Pretty much. Every chapter has 5 keys?
Not necessarily.
Well, 3 to 5. Okay. Like,
and there's actually a randomized locker that it's completely random, has 2 keys inside it.
What?
Which I got into a pickle at the end of my game. I had 3 lockers left to open, and I had 1 key. And I was like, if I don't open the locker with the 2 keys in it, I have to go back and find more than just 1 key in the game. I'm going to have to find a bunch. So I saved and just kept reloading my save and trying lockers. I tried all 3 and got it in none of them because it kept changing on me. And eventually I did open the locker with the keys inside of it and was like, oh, thank God. Now I don't have to go back. So there were 2 keys at the end that I didn't get, because one of those keys you basically can't get on a first playthrough, because you have to kill Laura on that second Laura fight. You don't escape. You actually have to kill her.
Oh, crap.
It's the only way to get that key. And you can't do it on a first playthrough. I mean, you can. It is so hard that I was like, I'm not doing this.
How do you kill
that
her?
That was
do
a hard challenge.
You just have
challenge,
to keep hitting with her
enough
with fire?
Damage and, yeah, fire. And you have to have enough stuff to make bolts with fire damage. You have to up your fire damage. Like, I used every piece of fire that I had on me in my playthrough trying to do it. And couldn't. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm moving on.
Jeez. Yeah, that sounds hard.
Yeah, that sounds super hard.
Yeah, I knew when I made that challenge. I was like, I'm going to be really impressed if they do this. But I don't know what other challenge to give them without giving them like a softball challenge. Like, just do your best. Like, I don't know what else to do.
I wasn't going to take away your crossbow. Yeah.
I wasn't going to give you a time limit. Like, beat it in under this time. Like, I don't know how long it takes your first time through.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I'm pretty sure we're going to rap no matter what.
Yeah. But, yeah, I messed up that challenge pretty early on after I figured out that I literally just walked by some keys and just left them there. I was like, guess I'm not going to be beating that one.
Some of those keys are so well hidden, too. I'm like, there's no way, unless you look up a guide, how you would get this.
Oh, yeah. Some of them, the walkthrough that I was following did a pretty good job of, like, letting you know where they were. But I was like, I would never would have saw this, like, on my own. One of them was in a pipe in a room.
And you shoot it, and it'll slide down to
the
bottom.
Yeah, and I was like, I never would have saw that.
One of them's in a vending machine, but it's only on the 3rd button press. It will come out of the vending machine.
Oh, I think I got
that
one.
See,
and then
vending
like the
machine
button press after that is like a bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, it dang
is.
It.
Oh, which there's the best Easter egg that I have ever seen in a game is in this game. It's in the DLC. If you press one of those vending machine buttons 15 times and then walk over to a picture on the wall, it'll fall and there's a hole in the wall. And if you look in the hole, it is a horribly graphic zombie dance party.
What?
With like disco lights, and they're doing like this messed up dance.
Oh my God, awesome. I want to see that.
Yeah, that sounds funny. We'll have to look up a video for that. That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, so me and Eric did not meet the challenge.
Well, I also didn't clearly do the other part where we had to play with all the lights off. I figured it was already storming and Doom was already doing all this stuff. I'm like, that's enough.
Yeah. Also, we have to share a PlayStation, so we couldn't both play at night all the time.
I technically played at night every time. However, because I was streaming, I can't do it completely dark because I had to light myself. Mm-hmm. So I had that to fall
back
on.
Was it as scary?
Wasn't as bad. Big lights in my face.
Did you have any nightmares about this game or anything?
So, no, I didn't have any nightmares, but my wife noticed. She was like, I could tell that game's scaring you. I was like, why? She was like, because I went downstairs this morning and you left all the lights on.
Oh.
That might be true.
I didn't have any nightmares for this, but I've definitely played some other games where I've had nightmares about them. Other scary games.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised I didn't, because I was playing it like right before I went to bed every night.
Yeah,
I know.
I would start playing at like 10 and I'd go to like midnight or 1 and then I'd go to bed.
Yeah. All right, so let's hear these raps, y'all.
good transition, Nikki.
Oh, I named the rap on my end, Meet Your Haymaker.
Nice. M-E-A-T? I'm just kidding.
Should be. My man Sebastian, he be asking all of these questions. He be hungry, but he fastin'. Raised the crossbow load of Bolton, now he's blastin'. He's laughing, cause how long that he be lastin'. Punch some crates that he thinks he will find a stash in. Baskin' the slurp juice before he cashin'. Grabbin' a matchin', then Laura's thrashin'. Rubik sittin' on the side thinking what could have been. How could this happen? Being confined to the mind that he's trapped in. Passion for fashion, their brains in. Cashin' on fashion, the stains and I'm deranged in. I don't know what I seek. The nurse is a curse and I'm about to freak. One more closed door, plus the bed has no sheets. Scared and sweaty, fucking ready for this game to get beat.
Sebastian, I'm feeling weird. How did we get here? What is the year? I know how this might appear, don't want you to fear. Let me be clear, this is not severe. After this we'll get a beer, but to be sincere, there's ringing in my ear, when will it disappear? Be safe and watch your rear, you may need to interfere. Like a friend to appear and stab me with that spear. Just to be clear, don't forget to shed a tear. Zombies are getting near, now let's kick it into gear.
I'm just a dead guy left high and dry, on standby near the few health supplies. I've been dying all week just for you to walk by, but I'm just a tad shy and I don't mean to pry. Reply to the invite, apply myself upright. You're giving off green lights, don't give yourself stage fright. Recite the third rite of words to be heard and conferred. Rawr, rawr. Slur the damn word, I didn't mean to yell. It sounded absurd, now I'm limping like hell. Would it quell your farewell if I sell you this shell? I think it's for a shotgun, I don't own a shotgun. I don't know why I have this actually, but factually, naturally. Here's a slug, and contractually, you owe me a hug. So rationally, I'll lean in with my mug.
Man, those were some fire raps, you guys. Yeah. Y'all really showed me up. I feel like y'all's raps are a lot faster than mine.
You're the one who didn't give yourself space to breathe.
Hey, I'm still learning, okay?
She hasn't upgraded her breath yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to upgrade it to at least like 3 more levels. Yeah. All right, so Eric, are you excited to hear what the next game is going to be?
I am.
Because I'm about to take it back. Take it way, way back.
Ooh.
To maybe elementary school, middle school days.
Oregon Trail.
How did you know?
Oh, man.
Dang.
I haven't mentioned it at all either.
Like, I haven't even given you any hints.
That's the first thing I think of when I think elementary school, man. So many great, like, days of playing Oregon Trail. like yeah. in school. That was the one game they would let you play in school, and it was a great game.
They actually, they made us play it. They're like, it's Oregon Trail time. Get on your computers.
They made me play Oregon Trail, too. Like, yeah. That was a, yeah.
It's like a learning experience.
Yeah, I felt like I was getting away with something. I'm like, this is fucking great. I'm going to go hunting, like, every day.
Yeah.
I ran out of ammo after, like, the first 3 days.
So
it's like, oh, wait, you can't possibly carry all this meat that you shot.
It's going to go bad on the... we're going to die of dysentery yeah. again.
I don't think I've played this since middle school, and I've been thinking about it, and I'm like, I want to go back and play this and, like, remember, I don't know, bring back the memories or whatever. And I don't think we haven't really done, like, an educational game in yeah. quotations yet. I don't... we'll revisit and see how educational this really is, because I don't quite remember. But
I learned a lot about anatomy and the Evil Within.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if we can count
that. They should let you play that in school, for sure.
You do learn about the different parts of the brain. I don't know how accurate it is. This is the whole part of the brain.
You can stab this part with a brain of the brain with a needle, and a door will open.
Yeah.
And also, you'll stop hoping. I assume that's what he's doing when he's stabbing those parts of the brain.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't think this game is on Steam. I couldn't find it on Steam, but it looks like you can just go to visitoregon.com and they have the Oregon Trail on the Visit Oregon website for free.
Oh, nice.
So we should be able to easily be able to play it online. And you're... challenge is to get the trophy Deja Vu. Okay?
Deja Vu. Yeah. Can you describe the trophy?
Yes. In order to get this trophy, you have to first die at some point in the game.
Okay.
When you die, you will get to write an epigraph on a tombstone. Once you die, you have to start a new game and then check out every grave and random encounter you can find and try to find your own tombstone.
So I just have to remember where I died and then find that tombstone.
Sure. It says, if you get lucky, one of these encounters will be your tombstone from your death. But it's a luck-based trophy, so might have to try a couple of different times to get it.
That's okay. It's like a pretty short game, I remember. It doesn't take that long to play through it. I think it's like 30 minutes to an hour, maybe.
Yeah, it's not that long.
It's a 75-hour-long epic.
Yeah. This is the remastered version.
Oh, God. it's in real time.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to get the Deja Vu trophy.
It's made by Zynga now, so like you have cooldown timers, and you could do some microtransactions to get those removed.
All right, you think you can do it?
Yeah, I think I could do that.
All right, cool. Well, we'll see you guys next time.
All right, bye.
Bye. Thanks.